Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. I'm Melody Cederstrom. I'm here with my co-host, Pastor Butch Paul, bringing you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Monday, July 10th, 2023. Howdy do, Butch.
Hello, Miss Melody. How are you today?
Oh, just wonderful. Thank you very much.
Glad to
hear
that.
A hot one here on the Eastern Shore of Maryland.
It's nice here today. It's warm. It's about 85, actually. But it doesn't feel quite that bad. It wasn't not quite as humid as it had been.
No, we got a ton of humidity. Yeah, we got a ton of humidity today. But, hey, it's summer. Pretty soon we're going to be complaining about that cold.
You're not going to hear me complain about too much heat. I can always sit in the shade.
I know that. I know that.
Drink a cold glass of iced tea and sit back and relax. I can do that.
You can do that?
I can do that. Wintertime, I got to put on coats and everything else and boots. But in the summertime, I just go sit under the shade tree and drink less iced tea. And I'm perfectly happy.
And you're happy. Well, okay.
I'm easy to please. I've been married a long time.
Well, let's go ahead and see if gold pleased us today. And, you know, it's up a buck. Off the high, though, you know, but not that far off the low, though. We had 1912 for a low. Now we're 1926. So good trading day for gold. Silver saw the same kind of a day, $23.21. Platinum was up $19, a little over 2%, 939. Palladium was down to 1,276. The USDX today was down 0.29. 101.96. Crude oil was down 65 cents at 73.21. And the paper markets today, the Dow was up 200 points, S&P up 10, NASDAQ up 24. European markets were all positive. Asian markets, they must have been closed for some sort of a holiday, or they show all unchanged. But they show to dates, they must not be trading. Well, I'm not going to say they're not trading or something's going on. It just could be where I get my screen for some reason. It's not updating them. 10-year yield still over 4%, 4.008. And we have natural gas up 3%. 2.665. Well, we have home prices are hitting new highs again, even though actually home prices hit a record high in May. New listings are down about 25% from a year ago, as homeowners with sub 4% mortgage rates are reluctant to sell their homes. So, yeah, why do you want to give up that, you know, 3% rate that you're paying now and have to pay for a, you know, 7%+? So people aren't selling their houses. So we saw home prices hit a record high in May, rising 0.7% nationally compared with April at the seasonally adjusted rate. This is all according to the Black Knight home price. Sharp jump in mortgage interest rates last year threw cold water on an overheated housing market, but it didn't last long. Even with rates still high, home prices are now gaining again, and the gains are accelerating with each new month. So there you have that.
May I ask you a question on that issue?
No.
Okay. I guess she's kidding, folks. You never know about her. But anyway, now I'm just curious. Prices going up, obviously, because of inflation going up. I mean, you can say what you want to. Inflation not under control.
Correct.
Prices are going up.
Correct.
To build a home. I know putting a little extension on my house right now, the prices are outrageous. But with the interest rates going up, are people still buying homes? I mean, are they still purchasing them? Is that part of the reason why price is going up? Not just inflation, but the price is going up because they're selling more homes? Is the demand still there?
Well, I guess it depends on who you talk to. They're now looking at the 7% mortgage rate as the new normal. People adjusted to the 6%. Once they got to the 6%, you know, then they, you know, open their pocketbooks a little more and so forth, and they'll move on. I mean, people still do buy homes. They sell. And, you know, they might have to pay a higher rate if you're paying a, you know, if you currently have a 3% mortgage. They're saying people might be a little reluctant to sell because then they're going to have to pay for a 7% mortgage. But how much has their home appreciated in the past few years? I know most homes, they've gone, some homes have gone up $100,000, $200,000. So, I mean, that kind of outweighs, and maybe people end up breaking even. I don't know. But there's lots of reasons people buy homes. So it seems to... we've seen a weakening in those, but builders continue to build. And so it hasn't, it doesn't seem that it has had any type of a catastrophic impact on the housing industry yet. I mean,
that's,
hey,
amazing.
Look, the government comes out. They lower, everybody lowers the standards. So people can get homes, you know, the wealthier people, the people who pay their bills and so forth, and, you know, have been fortunate in their, you know, who worked, you know, they pay higher premiums. So, you know, the governments will do whatever possible to keep these things going. So, I mean, I don't know how much of an impact that might have had, but I'm sure it had a positive impact.
Well, but I thought the increase in rates was supposed to slow the economy down.
Well,
that's what I thought, but apparently it's not
supposed
working.
Supposed to.
So,
not
so
working.
What's going to be the answer? Hyperinflation or recession?
Higher rates.
And that's going to lead to hyperinflation and eventually recession.
Right. We're going to get everything because they're between a rock and a hard place.
I agree.
So I they agree. Can't do. They just can't do it.
I totally agree with that. And that's
and
just,
people
I mean,
don't realize, yeah, people don't realize the impact that these higher rates are causing in corporate America. The servicing of debt is so much higher. They have to roll those loans over that they've had. I mean, it's so, hey, you have to give credit where credit is due. They're doing an incredible job keeping this system functioning.
Yeah, I guess you said it's functioning, but it's certainly putting a hurt on a lot of people for a lot of different reasons. But as you said, people adjust.
People I know adjust.
That I can't speak for everybody, but I find it hard to adjust to things I used to do. You know, I used to like to take a trip once in a while and travel a little bit, but the price of motels now and the price of food and, of course, gasoline, that cut way back on any time that I get any time to take a trip anywhere. That's my That's my insight from my experience. I can't speak for everybody else, but I'm spending more than every day, but I'm buying less, put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
So whether you like it or not, I mean, this is hurting some people. Maybe people can shrug it off. We have no choice. You got to accept it. I mean, you go to the store and a gallon of bleach is $6. It was 99 cents, some years ago. What are you going to do? You want bleach? You'll pay $6. That's just the way it is. You want a loaf of bread, you'll pay $3.50 compared to what it was, 59 cents. That's what you got to do if you want to exist today, Melody. You may cut back on other things that you don't need, but there's certain things you need. So people are learning to adjust their standard of living down a little bit. Would that be a fair statement?
Absolutely. And when we talk about inflation, here, used car prices in the U.S. fell 4.2% in June. This is their biggest monthly drop since the early days of the pandemic. And it's a key measure of inflation. So rising interest rates, bigger discounts on new cars are sapping demand for used vehicles, which is lowering the prices they fetch. I mean, it only makes sense. At auctions, dealers used to buy and sell previously owned vehicles. Pricing is also taking a hit because dealers have almost fully replenished inventory on used car lots that were depleted by the shutdowns and supply shortages during the pandemic. Buyers at auction look to have taken an early summer break. While used retail inventory has been improving over the last couple of weeks, they're still expecting less volatility in wholesale price movements through the year end. And they're blaming used car prices as been a key driver of core inflation. I mean, it's just like, it just cracks me up. Core inflation strips out food and energy prices. And so it's just... it's just so stupid.
Well, the core inflation is a false reason.
It is.
Anyway. I mean, if you strip out food and energy, you stripped out the main reason people have, the main things people have to live. So don't even give me the inflation rate if you're not going to count the ones that are most important. That's insane.
So they use the used car inflation numbers to justify the drop in is one of the not the only one, but as part as the calculation of dropping inflation. It's just ridiculous.
Obviously, that's just a ploy, and it's worked very well
sure
so far.
Is.
I mean, people are, so far putting up with it.
Yep, absolutely. I think that was pretty much, other than the same things that we already know, the Fed comes out, will they, won't they, and which is also HSBC downgrades 11 stocks in precarious UK real estate sector. China's factory gate prices fall at fastest pace in 7 years. China's car sales shrink 3% in June as big ticket spending falters. So South Korea asked banks to prepare $4 billion to support credit union. North Korea warns it may shoot down U.S. spy plans. So there's a lot of headlines out there. But
there is. There is. And a couple of ones I got here, I think, in my mind, are very important, Melody.
And if they go through
with this, America has seen nothing yet, inflation-wise or poverty-wise, compare what this is going to mean. This is from Hal Turner. Breaking news, Russia confirms BRICS nations to launch gold-backed currency. That will be 100% backed? I have no idea. Didn't say. But even 10% is better than we have. According to state-run Russian television, RT, the Russian government has confirmed, Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa, known as the BRICS nations, will introduce a new trading currency backed by gold. Now let that sink in, folks. If they do that, the dollar is completely out as a world currency. The official announcement is expected during the upcoming BRICS summit in South Africa this August. If this takes place, it will likely mark the end of fiat currencies like the U.S. dollar, which is backed by nothing. How fast nations around the world switch to using this new global-backed currency for the foreign trade is anyone's guess. The more countries that choose to use this new currency, the more foreign aid U.S. dollars will come rushing back to the USA from those countries which no longer need to hold U.S. dollars for their trade, foreign trade. Now, folks, that you ain't going to believe what that's going to do for inflation. As those dollars come back to the USA, it will cause inflation to spike in ways never before seen here in America. U.S. manufacturers almost nothing here anymore. Almost everything we buy and sell in the USA is made overseas. As U.S. dollars come flooding back from overseas, the value of U.S. dollar will plummet versus other currencies, which means it will take many more U.S. dollars to buy goods from foreign countries. Hence, sudden and dramatic inflation here at home. It is worth pointing out that the U.S. has, on more than one occasion, gone to actual war to stop that exact thing from taking place in the past. Two recent examples would be Libya and Iraq. And folks, make a comment here. Why would it be different with war with Russia? Think about that. Why? I mean, we went to war over this many, many times. Why do you think that maybe something maybe along these lines are going pertaining to the war with Russia, maybe? Something to think about. In Libya, Muammar Gaddafi wanted to create a gold-backed pan-African currency. Within a month of his announcement, there were riots and uprisings in Libya that ultimately resulted in Gaddafi being mobbed and brutally killed in the streets. Iraq made similar effort under Saddam Hussein. He announced that Iraq would begin selling oil and currencies other than the U.S. dollar, which sent the U.S. to Iraq War II, toppling Hussein from power. Ultimately, Hussein was found hiding in a hole in the ground, was arrested, and hung by his neck until dead. The U.S. takes it very, very serious when anyone around the world tries to do anything that would unseat the U.S. dollar as the world's de facto reserve currency. The U.S. is already itching to go to war with Russia over the Ukraine conflict. With today's announcement about a gold-backed BRICS trading currency, it seems logical that the U.S. gloves will come off. If Russia and the BRICS nations do what they have announced, it will mean the total collapse of the U.S. world dominance. Repeat that, folks. The total collapse of the U.S. world dominance. There are many people inside the U.S. government that would rather burn the entire world to the ground rather than lose control of it. Put simply, they will stop at nothing to maintain their financial control power and will actively, viciously, brutally destroy anyone and anything threatening their power. No, that's a hard-hitting article, and I agree with it completely.
Yes, it certainly is. I mean, this is something that we know we're headed to because of, you know, all the past decisions that have been made. And there's a movement to have another currency for trade globally. And I don't know how soon, but it's on its way. I mean, it's just a matter of time.
Well, I believe it's still going to next month. Mm-hmm. And so if they do this in August, it's only if they do it in August, it may take a month through the filter through, but it's going to be hard, really
it's
hard
just not,
this country.
Yeah, but I mean, the world is a big place. And there's lots of money that's being traded in the U.S. dollar still.
Well, that's true. But again, how long will that last?
I don't know. And that's the whole. Is it going to be some sort of a, you know, they do it one day and the next day the dollar falls to? No, I don't think that's going to happen. But I mean, it certainly is. Could. It's possible. But there's still a lot that is traded with the U.S. dollar. And I'm not saying that them going to something like that is not going to impact the dollar. I'm not saying that. But, I mean, I still believe we need to have some sort of a catastrophic event for things to really. Because there's still enough countries out there that still support the dollar.
How about war with Russia for catastrophic events?
Yeah. Biden came out this weekend and said we didn't have any. Our munitions was running low.
I got the article coming up. Yes,
can you
I
believe
do.
That?
Right. Yeah, I believe that. But this is, again, I'm not saying anything's going to happen because I can't do that. But if they do come to this new currency in August, and it takes them a couple, 3 months to get it rolled out. By the end of the year, we can see a lot of things change in this country and around the world. I mean, the world is a big place, but the nations are interconnected financially now. whether you like it or not, that, in my opinion, is wrong.
But the sad thing is most of those transactions are all from people in the United States.
That's true, too.
So true we're too. Still using the dollar. And so, therefore, it's just not going to – not to say that it's not going to – people don't remember how bad things got after 2008, 2010. The dollar, the USDX, the dollar traded at 70. And look how bad things were. And it was still at 70, which is, hey, it's not zero. And look how bad things were. Yep. So that's what we had. Everything is in you have to keep things into perspective. We'll be right back. We're heading into a break.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE TalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home. And if you ask me how I'm feeling, don't tell me you're too blind to see. Never gonna give you up, never gonna let you down, never gonna run around and desert you, never gonna make you cry, never gonna say goodbye, never gonna tell a lie and hurt you, never gonna give you up.
And welcome back. You're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cederstrom. Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Make sure you visit our website at dgscoins.com. dgscoins.com. Butch?
All righty. Another good article here that, and I don't, how do you put it? I like what these people are saying, but I'm very kind of selective who I listen to. Hal Turner, I do have some trust in. Others, not so much, but this next article, though, fits in so well with what Hal said. It all ties together. I think we need to pay attention. It's entitled, Buckle Up. What you're about to see isn't pretty. Last week, a note that the U.S. is becoming an emerging market. And he said, by way of quick review. Many of the most important institutions in the U.S. now exhibit a level of corruption that is normal for banana republics. We now see these institutions doing everything from interfering in elections to arresting political opponents and more. The individuals who do this are not punished. If anything, they are given book deals and TV slots. The U.S. no longer has a clear rule of law. Those with the correct political leanings and connections can avoid jail time for serious crimes, even treason. Meanwhile, those on the other side of the political spectrum are given lengthy sentences for minor transgressions. The U.S. economy is no longer a manufacturing industrial leader. Decades of outsourcing have gutted the middle class, resulting in the kind of wealth disparities you usually see in emerging markets. A American children dream of becoming influencers or social media personalities instead of business owners or innovators. It's enough to make you sick. And folks, everything you said here so far is very true. Indeed, the U.S. is an emerging market. A theme was on full display last week when our Secretary of Treasury, Janet Yellen, arguably the most important financial figure in our country, and the person in charge of managing the U.S. dollar financial system, groveled in front of China's Vice Premier He Leqing during her visit to China. Ms. Yellen bowed repeatedly to the Vice Premier, groveling much as an emerging market financial official would kowtow to his or her counterpart from a more developed superior nation upon which the former nation relied on for aid, support, and assistance. Again, this is a thing of emerging markets. And the fact that the person who manages our finances and currency is this incompetent, embarrassing, illustrates clearly just how far the U.S. has sunk. I agree. I totally agree with that. We no longer manufacture. We no longer have any kind of industry to speak of. We now see people going to jail who did basically nothing wrong. What traitors, literally treasonous people are walking free. We see this all the time. We see certain individuals, because of the political stand or maybe a moral stand, being targeted and taken out of the picture. We're seeing the economy going to nothing. Now we see Yellen bowing to this premier in China several times. So you can watch online. There's something, America has lost face. Let's put it that way. That's a good way to put it. America has lost face and respect in this world. And rightfully so. We don't deserve it, so now we do not have it. Any comments, Melody?
I wasn't sure what she was doing. I mean, it was kind of like when she was meeting him, and I mean, I couldn't tell if she was having spasm or what. It didn't look like a bow. But I'm assuming that's what she was doing, and it just she really is also too old for that position. She really is. Being a woman, I mean, for the pout, I don't know. It's sad.
It is sad.
It really it is sad.
But all the other information in that article all ties together to fit that scenario. We've lost our nation. The laws are no longer binding for those who are on the right side of the political spectrum. We can become a third world banana republic. And it's getting worse every day. But another article that goes along with this issue in economics, into the dollar. SCO nations to abandon U.S. dollar, shift to domestic currencies for financial transactions. Folks, again, this is not BRICS. It's not the Shanghai Corporation Organization. SCO is also involved in this. The United States dollar could suffer another huge blow that could send it down the drain as heads of the Shanghai Cooperation Organization. Member states have made a landslide decision to conduct the majority of transactions in national currencies instead of the American dollar following Iranian President Raisi's proposal to ditch the dollar eventually. Raisi warned against the world's dependency on USD and global exchanges and pointed out the importance of the de-dollarization to form a just international system during a speech at the July 4th virtual 23rd SCO summit that was held after Iran gained full-fledged membership in the bloc. Based on the experience of the past decades, it is now obvious that militarism and the dominance of the dollar form the basis of the Western domination system, the president stressed. Therefore, any attempt to shape a fair international system requires a removal of this instrument of dominance in intra-regional relations. And folks, he's right. Based on the experience of the past decades, it is now obvious that militarism and the dominance of the dollar forms the basis of Western domination. That's exactly right. We had the might, and we had the dollar. We hammered the nations to any way we wanted them to go. Now the Shanghai Corporation Organization and their nations are going to also move away from the dollar. Melly, that's another huge move, is it not?
Well, it certainly is. And you're gradually going to see more and more do this because they just don't want to. I mean, China said a long time ago that they didn't think there should be a one world currency, and that's what they've been working towards for years, since 2008. So,
well, obviously, again, in the last couple of years, we've seen inflation eat people alive, and it hasn't eased up that I have seen at all. And this, if this goes through, this will make this little bump in the road seem like nothing, Melody.
Absolutely.
It really will. It really will. Talk about desperate people accepting desperate circumstances, situations to be able to eat. What better time to bring in the digital currency in the banks? What better time to bring in the control and the debit card, so to speak? What better time to do this than when people can't even afford to buy groceries? Wow. Corporate bankruptcies reached highest level since 2010. New data show that a growing number of U.S. firms are collapsing under the weight of higher interest rates as corporate bankruptcies reached their highest first half level since 2010. In the first 6 months of 2023, there are 340 corporate bankruptcies, toppling every other comparable span in 13 years, according to S&P Global Market Intelligence. This is up 93% from the same time a year ago and higher than 2020, when there was a spike during the early days of the coronavirus pandemic. Folks, is up 93% from this time a year ago. Think about this. There were 54 recorded corporate bankruptcy filings in June, unchanged from 54 bankruptcies in May. Last month, some of the most notable companies to submit filings were Lordstown Motors, Rockport Company, Instant Brands Acquisition Holdings, and iMedia Brands. Lordstown Motors filed for bankruptcy on June 27th with plans to restructure its business and seek a buyer, according to a company release. Electric vehicle manufacturer's assets include the Endurance pickup truck and related resources. Instant Brands Acquisition Holding Incorporated also sought bankruptcy protection June 12. The tightening of credit terms and higher interest rates had impacted the company, liquidating levels, according to an official release. The company has also secured $132.5 million from existing lenders and plans to continue discussions with its financial stakeholders. Year-to-date, through June 15th, companies with more than $1 billion in liabilities filed for bankruptcy. 15 companies, folks, and the year-to-date through June, 15 companies with liabilities of more than $1 billion filed for bankruptcies, such as Zacteria Technologies, Diebold Holding, Bed & Bath Beyond, Diamond Sports Group, and Party City. Equal bankruptcy, a U.S. bankruptcy filing data provider, confirmed that 2,973 total commercial Chapter 11 bankruptcies were filed in the first half of 2023, up 68% from the same period in 2022. Almost 3,000, folks, commercial Chapter 11 bankruptcies, up 68% from this time in 2022. Melanie, that's a pretty good number. That's a pretty large number.
It certainly is.
And think of the jobs that impacts.
Yeah.
I mean, we're not talking about, mom-and-pop stores. We're talking about Lordstown Motors. We're talking about, companies like Bed Bath & Beyond and I mean, companies that are not thousands of employees. And my question is, if they paid into retirement funds in these companies or own stock of the companies, you think that affected them some too?
You would think.
Folks, this is really getting serious. This is beyond serious. We're watching companies go out of business that have been in business for many, many years. I mean, even many that I grew up with, businesses that were around for so many years, J.C. Murphy and a whole bunch of them, bunches of them, are gone. They were one time, Sears and Roebuck was a huge, huge business at one time. Now it's nothing. These were staples for the people in this nation for a long, long time. Sold quality products made in the USA. I defy you to go to a local store now and find you a pair of jeans or a shirt or something made in the USA. It's so rare, it's unbelievable. I mean, as a matter of fact, it's impossible to go to the store and get the same size clothing off the same rack without trying them on, because they're all different sizes. Although they say the same size, they're not the same size, because they're made in Bangladesh or Taiwan or somewhere and sold here. And I know for a fact, because I used to sell to a business that made clothing, and they would label them the wrong size so they could sell them.
Wow.
They had demand for that certain size.
Wow.
So there you go. Melody, I'm not trying to be a doom and gloomer, but I'm trying to warn people this is happening as we speak.
Wow. We appreciate it.
Well, it is important. Now, this next article, and this is, remember, folks, we're talking about America. the one that's now become a banana republic, and quickly turning to a third world nation in our cities. Some of the most beautiful cities in the world at one time are turning into slums. No, not just a downtown slum area. I'm talking about where the higher level income people lived are being overtaken with homelessness and drug use and crime. We'll discuss in a minute about Seattle. People live in Seattle, folks, by the droves. And Seattle at one time was a beautiful city. It was. Cash-strapped consumers resort to dumpster dining to save on grocery bill. What do you think of that title, Melody?
Wow. Interesting.
Despite the Biden administration's cheerleading that Bidenomics is the economic savior of the middle class, most Americans would disagree there has been an economic revival amid the worst inflation storm in a generation that has sent negative real wage growth negative for more than 2 years, forcing consumers to deplete personal savings and rack up record amounts of credit card debt in a high interest rate environment. We have shown many households are in a tough financial shape. Dollar Tree executives confirmed weeks ago that the mid-low tier consumers are trading down from more expensive retailers to their stores for groceries. This means Walmart had become too expensive for some consumers. Whew, who would have thought that?
Who would have?
Wow. Even before we noted consumers trade down from Walmart, Dollar Tree becomes supermarket for the working poor, we found the trend on TikTok that showed an increased number of Americans in March were resorting to dollar stores for groceries to save money. We titled that note, Dollar Tree Diners, TikTokers Goes Viral After Showing People Now How to Cook for $35 a Week. Last week, we were the first to point out that Google searches for pawn shop near me just erupted to record highs, indicating that consumers are in rough shape. We covered that on the air last week. It's not just as pointing out that Bidenomics might be a failure. Goldman Sachs' Rich Pavlovsky told clients last month something is not quite adding up on the consumer, and asked, have we just run out of excess savings, and are we returning to replenishing savings? Meanwhile, an increasing number of corporate execs from consumer staple companies have warned about a weakening consumer, leaving us with the evolution of trading down from dollar store diners to dumpster diving. Some media outlets, including Business Insider and New York Post, have pointed out that some folks have resorted to dumpster diving to save on food costs. BI titled, that's Business Insider, folks, titled their piece, "A Dumpster Diving Millennial Cut Her Grocery Bill to About $45 a Month on Average for the Last 4 Months," while in New York Post titled theirs, "I Spent Just $90 a Year on Groceries, and Here's How I Did It," which shows how some millennials are dumpster diving for survival in today's high inflation period. While we thought trading down from Walmart to Dollar Tree for groceries was rock bottom, apparently not. Wow. What can I say? I mean, that's where we are today. That's where we are today, whether we like it or not, and that's America today. And I don't want to say, but I mean, how can I explain it clearer than that? That's actually happening here in America. Dumpster diving is not new, but it is for the middle-class people. Haley?
Well, you know, it's interesting, you know. You're right, because, you know, you hear a lot of people saying, oh, I don't need this anymore. I just put it outside and it's free, and if somebody will come by and get it, what they do is great. And, I mean, we're beginning to just accept it as part of a lifestyle. It's a standard of living anymore.
Yeah, we just shrug it and go away. Just shrug and move on. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
We do. We certainly do. And then coming this month, property taxes become due. People are dumpster diving, trying to get food on the table. They still got to pay tax on their property.
Sure do.
If they don't, guess what? They don't have their property. Well, they never did own it. You never do own your property. We said it many times. You never own your home. You never own your home. You pay rent to the county and the state, or you don't get to keep your home. It's just that easy. Now I know this, and people don't like to think about this, folks, but there's no point buttering this up. This is America today. We're reaping what we have sown for many, many generations. Ever since we went off the gold standard financial, the Federal Reserve come in and killed this economy. But we're reaping it because for the sin of allowing it to happen in the first place. God put a curse on fiat currencies. It's in your Bible, called unjust weights and measures. So now we're reaping it. It took several generations to reach this point, and it's not done yet. We're getting very close to something much, much worse. Man, I know we're going to break in about 20 seconds. You want to add anything to that?
No, I don't. And so we'll be coming back from this break here in just a few minutes. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival. Make your stand. Take it easy.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE talkradio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home. And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and I'm here with Pastor Butch Paul, giving us some great information today, and we appreciate that. Would you like to continue?
No, you go ahead. You wrap it up. I'll pick that up.
I know you were going to say that.
Oh, well. Hey, folks, if you could have heard the time, rough time to give me during the break, then you would understand why. But anyway, we'll move on then. This is a bit of good news. I do believe, I know it is a bit of good news. Farmers markets thriving since pandemic has shoppers and vendors from Unbreakable Ritual. So form Unbreakable. Okay, so the number of farmers markets in the U.S. is increasing, as are the numbers of customers and the number of states choosing to celebrate with them an official farmers market week. The cheeriest place to buy your groceries has not only survived the pandemic, they are thriving, despite lockdown policies in many states labeling them as non-essential, forcing a shutdown while indoor supermarkets were kept open. 30 years ago, there were fewer than 2,000 open farmers markets in the U.S. Today, there are more than 8,600 markets currently registered in the USDA Farmers Market Directory. This nonprofit advocacy organization fought on behalf of farmers during the pandemic, presenting a spiritual defense using scientific and common sense arguments to keep them going when state and local governments wanted to shut them down. In lockdown heavy cities like Chicago, the Green City Market on Saturdays has grown from 5,000 to 10,000 shoppers pre-pandemic to 8,000 to 15,000 a day. Good for them. I tell you what, Melody, if you can find a good farmer's market and you can buy fresh produce from a local farmer.
Absolutely.
That is phenomenal. There's nothing like fresh produce right off the vine, so to speak. Nothing like that. You can buy tomatoes all winter long, and they look like tomato, and they taste like cardboard. But you go out and get a piece, one right off the vine, oh, my goodness, there's a difference, and that's unbelievable. So that's some good news, and God bless the farmers. I'll tell you what, we take it for granted. We shouldn't do that.
It's true.
One for farmers, period, we won't be eating anything. It's just that simple, Melody. Not just the produce farmers, but cattle farmers, dairy farmers. If they were not there producing and working from dusk to dawn in Long River Day, we wouldn't have anything on the table, would we?
No.
The people we take for granted sometimes is really a sad thing to think about. So God bless the farmers and what they're doing, and I hope those markets double again very quickly. 1/3 of Seattle residents may flee city over crime and cost. I've never been to Seattle. I went to Washington State once on my way to Vietnam. I've never been to Seattle. But what I've seen of Seattle and pictures and whatever, and people have been there, they tell me it was a very beautiful city. They said it was just a gorgeous place to visit. Well, 1 in 3 residents of Seattle may leave the Democratic stronghold due to skyrocketing crime and the high cost of living, according to Seattle Times Suffolk University poll published last month. Approximately 33% of those polled said they were seriously considering moving out of the city versus 16% who said they had no plans to move. Among those who say they're considering leaving, 37% blame rising costs, while 34% cited public safety as a primary concern. But isn't that sad that the 34% of people are so afraid of crime they're willing to move? Isn't that a sad thing to have to say?
I mean, it really is. I mean, it's like, but my question, yeah, it's, sometimes it doesn't make sense, but yeah, move if you don't feel safe.
That's just another sad state of affairs in a country that's forgotten God. Psalms 9:17, they forget God, turn into hell. You see it happening. It says, yeah. Of those considering leaving, renters, 44% were the majority, followed by 27% of homeowners. Those with lower incomes, particularly those making under $20,000, were more likely to blame soaring home prices. The same group, understandably, also reported experiencing housing insecurity and homelessness at the highest rates. In May, Washington Governor Jay Inslee signed 10 bills aimed at solving the housing crisis by making homeownership more affordable. Homelessness is a housing crisis, said Inslee. Those in the highest income bracket who make $250,000 per year and are more likely to own homes reported that public safety was their primary concern. 80% of those who are seriously considering moving rate Seattle poorly as a place to live, while 66% said they don't feel safe in their own neighborhood. Well, it's not just in Seattle, although they're one of the worst because of the left-leaning politicians there. It's happening in Charleston, West Virginia. People that lived in neighborhoods have been safe for years, and now I'm seeing shootings and stabbings and thievery mm-hmm. pick up. It's everywhere. It's not just It's not just Seattle. It's not just San Francisco, folks. It's everywhere. And we're not going to see a turnaround unless people demand that things be changed, but I don't see it happening. I just don't see it happen. Any comments on Building?
No, it's... Where did I see a video this morning on one of the news channels? I can't recall which store it was. I don't know if it was a Walmart or a Lowe's or something. But you had two guys with a cart filled with all types of camping equipment, and they're just walking right out the door. And the manager comes up and he runs up and he tries to grab the cart from him and he gets assaulted. Pushed and assaulted and they just go right out the door. When's that going to change to them coming to your home?
Oh, it's just a matter of time. And where did this happen at?
I can't recall the state or the city or the state. I think it was Georgia for some reason. I don't, because I think it might have been Georgia. I don't know for sure. But it's like, but you see these stories all the time.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do.
So how emboldened do you think they're going to become? Here you can rob a store. Of course, maybe they don't need to come into your home. They can just go into Walmart or wherever and walk out with whatever they want, new, brand new.
And they do. They really do.
And they
that.
Do.
Unbelievable. Ukraine's allies can't get in arms fast enough as stockpiles shrink. NATO states are urging companies to boost production to help them restock, to both resupply Ukraine and reinforce their own stores in a climate of heightened tension, according to people familiar with the matter. That's as Russian President Vladimir Putin escalates his threats, including warning of a potential nuclear attack, with his troops facing numerous setbacks on the ground in Ukraine. Kyiv's allies have already sent in billions of dollars in arms, munitions, and equipment since Russia invaded in February. Of course, that's last February. That's putting pressure on ammunition stockpiles, including 155-millimeter shells for artillery, some of their people said, of which the U.S. has given Ukraine over 1 million rounds since the start of the war. Well, I divide that out. 18 months of 155-millimeter shells. 18 months divided in 1 million is about 59,000 shells a month they're shooting up.
Wow.
Now, think about that. That's a lot of shooting. Defense companies in the U.S. and Europe now are now seeing demand arise for air defense and anti-tank arms alongside other equipment, with governments increasingly recognizing Ukraine will probably need military support for years to come. It'll be a struggle to quickly expand the manufacturing after decades of limited orders. And think of the war hawks, Melody. They own these manufacturing companies that produce these armaments. They're going to make some money, aren't they?
They certainly are.
As the war drags on, Ukraine's partners may be tempted to prune back support as they worry about their own security needs, potentially creating the types of fissures Putin is seeking to exploit alongside tensions over access to energy in Europe. Apart from multiple launch rocket systems, Ukraine's allies have mostly focused on sending it Soviet-style weapons and tanks which are running low in supply. Those stocks need to be replaced with modern weapons. At the same time, North Atlantic Treaty Organization members need more arms to shore up the alliance's presence on the eastern flank. There you go. That ties in with the article that Melanie mentioned earlier. We've run out of ammunition. Biden explains decision to send cluster bombs to Ukraine. I'm not an expert on cluster bomb, folks, but I know some about that. They're the least controlled type of weapon as far as aiming them of anything I know of. And they kill lots of innocent people. Joe Biden blurted out to reporters on Sunday, the decision to send widely banned cluster bombs to Ukraine was made because we've run out of ammunition. Mr. President, on cluster munitions, why now, reporter asked. We run out of ammunition, Biden bluntly responded. Joe Biden wasn't supposed to say the quiet part out loud. We ran out of ammunition. But now that's the cast out of the bag, we must ask whether continued support of Ukraine military is even feasible as the conflict rages on. If true, this is a bombshell mission, no pun intended, which I can't imagine a military would want to be revealed publicly by the president to the entire world. Biden said during an interview with CNN released on Friday that the U.S. was running low on munitions and the Ukrainians are running out of ammunition. Gee. What a statement. We're out of shells, folks. We got to call the war off. Can we call a treaty to rebuild or restock our ammo here, folks? I mean, this is insanity, Melody. Total insanity.
You know, and they did the damage control, and they're sending people out to say, oh, well, I don't know which department he was in, but he would say, oh, it doesn't mean that we're low on munitions. It just means that we have an overabundance, and we draw that down, but then it gets to a certain level, and then we deem that that's the part that we're low. And it's like, who are you kidding me? Yeah, who's it's just amazing.
And Canada and other nations also opposed him sending cluster bombs there, too, by the way. Some of our allies don't want to do that.
I know. Well, there was a world agreement that cluster bombs would not be used.
There was.
But who breaks it?
You know, the other good guys, right?
The good guys, yeah.
Yeah. Outliers, Turkey, Hungary, threaten NATO unity and standoff with Russia. Folks, this is not a unified group right now. No matter what they're saying, this is not unified. When the leaders of NATO nations gather in Lithuania this week, President Biden and his closest allies will endeavor to send Russia a forceful message that the West is united against Russian President Vladimir Putin's war in Ukraine. The jeopardizing of the show of cohesion will be some of the same leaders joining Biden for this summit, whose refusal to admit Sweden has a 31-nation bloc's newest member underscores the divisions that could erode NATO's deterrent power amid a dangerous standoff with Moscow. While Turkish President Erdogan said Hungarian Prime Minister Orban have cited differing objections to the entry of Sweden, whose advanced military would boost NATO's combat power, the shared status has hold us highlights the ability of any member state to disrupt widely supported alliance priorities. The strong men are problematic. If important, NATO allies urging fresh from an electoral victory, cementing more than two decades in power, and Orban, who has maintained warm ties with Putin and rejected some European aid to Ukraine, have faced criticism for the anti-democratic practices, but also acknowledgement of their military and other contributions to the alliance. Now, if Orban is holding warm ties, has keep warm ties with Putin, he doesn't want to send weapons to Ukraine, that makes sense to me. But don't say that they're all united because they're fighting together as one, because they're not. The region now with the NATO folks could be a huge advantage for Russia. Now Russia says cruise missile launched on Crimea as war reaches 500 days. Another significant escalation, Russia says it's shot down a cruise missile launched by Ukraine over Crimea, according to Crimean Governor Ashkenov. The incident inflicted no damage or casualties, he added, without specifying where the missile had been launched from, according to international reporters. The intercept reportedly has happened near the city of Kursk on the Crimean Peninsula. Drones inside Russia's territory or over Russia-controlled Crimea have been a regular feature of this war, but cruise missiles or other long-range heavy missiles, much less so. Kryim Relay media outlet reported that several explosions were heard in the occupied Crimea at around 12 p.m. on July 9th. Following Ashkenov's claim, local telegram channels also reported that the traffic was temporarily stopped at the Crimean Bridge that connects the Russian-occupied peninsula and mainland Russia over the Kerch Strait. There have been no further details. I don't know if Putin will tolerate that or not. I don't think so. One more very quickly. North Korea warns it may shoot down U.S. spy planes. Melly mentioned earlier. North Korea accused the United States on Monday of violating its airspace by conducting surveillance flights and warned that while Pyongyang was exercising restraint, such flights may be shot down. Provocative military action by the United States for bringing the Korean Peninsula closer to nuclear conflict, said an unnamed spokesman of North Korea's Ministry of National Defense. The report also cited the U.S. use of reconnaissance planes and drones and said Washington was escalating tensions by sending a nuclear submarine near the peninsula. There's no guarantee that such a shocking accident as the downing of the U.S. Air Force strategic reconnaissance plane will not happen in waters east of Korea, the spokesperson said. So another hotspot, folks, heating up very quickly. Building.
Sure is. And as that, we're out of time, and we will be back tomorrow. So until then, be safe. Good night, and God bless.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad. Got me a wealthy